My name is Daniel Galarza and I'm a licensed clinician. Today I'm going to talk about why relationships end, or why do they fail? For people who are working on a committed relationship, it's clear that the goal is to stay together for a long time. You want that relationship to look good and feel good because you care about each other. But for too many people, it's way too difficult. It's as if people struggle because they don't know how to truly have a healthy relationship. If done right, a healthy relationship is a process in which two people form an agreement. Really, what two people are working on is on creating the expectations and the routine that's going to work for both of them. Today, I'm going to be talking about why so many couples have such a difficult time working out relationships, keeping into consideration that not all relationships are intended to succeed or to work. Most of us need to go through a series of relationships. Being with another person helps us understand a little bit about ourselves, and it helps us grow in understanding what a relationship is in the first place. Most people in relationships will have to work hard on creating and sustaining a long-lasting relationship. So I'm going to focus on the things that I've noticed in the work that I do as to what tends to get in the way of a successful relationship. That doesn't mean I'm going to cover everything. It's nearly impossible to cover every possible scenario as to why relationships don't work. But I do want to focus on some of the main concepts that I tend to notice. So I want to start with the idea that sometimes people find partners based on neediness. And by that I mean this. People that carry insecurities about themselves for whatever reason can sometimes be needy in relationships. It could be a person who has low self-worth, a person that has trust issues, or even a person that has general instability in their lives. There are some people that don't have stability in their lives. So in this case, if that person meets someone who can offer stability in their life, that would be an example of falling for somebody based on a need. You needed stability, that person can offer stability, it was a match for you. A person that has too many insecurities or is too insecure tend to seek partners that compensate for those insecurities. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Let's say I didn't feel that great about myself. If I went around feeling like nobody paid attention to me, and I one day met a girl who paid attention to me, and on top of that, she took care of me, she was nice to me, I might start falling for her. Not necessarily because of who she is as a person, but because of what she just offered me. Then I can go around saying things like, she makes me feel good. And that would be true. She makes me feel good. But what if she wasn't a great partner? What if she really wasn't a good match? What if our values didn't match? If I was that insecure, I would sacrifice all of that just to have her in my life. Another example would be if I were a person who was lost in life. If I didn't feel like if I had direction in life, I might be really attracted to a woman who knew exactly what she wanted in life. I might feel secure with that person. If I knew that this person was going to lead me in the right direction, I will find comfort in that. The risk with that is that I might sacrifice everything else for that sense of security that that person is offering me. In too many cases, I've noticed that people get together because at that moment in their life, they were insecure or had needs that the other person happened to fulfill. These type of relationships are not sustainable. This type of neediness in a relationship will create pressure, and the relationship can feel very restrictive. It can lead to unreasonable expectations of our partners. If I was the insecure guy that got with a girl because of the fact that she gave me attention, I might not want her to give anybody else the attention. I may put a lot of limits on where that attention goes and how it looks, or I might demand a lot of attention all the time. But this is just one example. One of the things that I've noticed in men sometimes is that I've noticed that sometimes men find their worth in the amount of money they make. If you go out there and you find yourself a good job and tend to make a good amount of money, then in turn, that can make some men feel valuable. But instead of meeting a partner who makes just as much money as they do, they tend to find partners who need them for their money. In a way, it allows that person to feel like they have something to offer. That is what I have to offer. I can give you financial stability. Somewhere inside, they feel like that's where their worth lies. Now, if they do find a partner who relies on them financially, and then at some point starts making their own money, I've noticed that some men become really threatened and might accuse their partners of changing as people. And this type of dynamic where a man might feel like they like being the caretaker or the provider of the house could lead to a sense of entitlement because after all, I'm providing for you. And in turn, if their partners are asking for other things in the relationship, for the relationship to be fair, I've noticed that men tend to accuse their partners of being ungrateful in their relationship. It's not unusual in my practice to hear men call women ungrateful. Obviously, it's not that they're being ungrateful. It's that they're asking for a well-rounded relationship. So I encourage people to take a good assessment as to why you got together in the first place. Was it based on love and admiration for the person? Or did it have something to do with a neediness that you might have had or the other person might have had at the time? Just consider it. The next reason as to why relationships struggle has to do with communication. I've mentioned this before. It's probably the main thing that couples come to me with. We have a problem communicating. I'll remind you that the goal is to understand your partner, not through generalizing or making assumptions about your partner, but by truly getting to know who that person is. But in a healthy relationship, you also have to have a good understanding of yourself. In order for me to communicate my needs, where I'm at, what I don't want, what I would like, I have to know me. I'm not just reacting on triggers. I know where those triggers are coming from, and I know what they're about. But most people don't tend to do this. Most people just fight. It's like a competition. Who's more right than the other? Or who's wrong? So in order to address some of the mistakes that people make when they argue, I will be talking about mistakes that people make on the next episode. So look out for that. And I will also encourage people to go back to the podcast on communication. It breaks down mistakes we make and things we should consider to be more effective communicators. But really, we're talking about three primary barriers that couples have when trying to communicate effectively. The first one for me is the concept of labeling. I labeled my partner. I already deemed who they are, why they do what they do, and how they think. No matter what they say, no matter what they express, I've already determined what it was about. That's when we say things like, oh, that's because they're grouchy, or they're ungrateful, or they're selfish. When we label people, we don't hear them. Defensiveness would be the next thing. I validate the fact that we don't like to be called out, or we don't like to think that we are making mistakes in a relationship, but we will make mistakes. To be defensive is like creating a wall between myself and my partner. I'm shielding myself. I'm saying I don't want to receive your message, either because I don't like it or because I don't agree with it. Point being, your inability to actually listen to another person without having to defend yourself will always get in the way of effective communication. And the third thing would be closed-mindedness, resistance to change or resistance to grow as a person. A person who's closed-minded has already determined how things are going to be and how they're not going to be. So even if they're presented with something that could be better or different, they're not up for it. When we're closed-minded, we tend to reject messages that we're not willing to change or don't see as a benefit to us. To be closed-minded means that you're okay with the status quo, even if it's not okay for your partner. So your message to them tends to be, you change if you don't like it. So hold yourself in check when it comes down to the barriers that you present in your relationship when it comes down to communicating with your partner. Remember that there's a message that needs to be delivered or to be received. Be ready to receive the messages and understand how to effectively deliver them. The next idea as to why I feel relationships tend to fail is the concept of understanding fatal flaws. The term fatal flaws is a term that I use to describe deep-rooted issues or problems in a person that hurt relationships. This is a way of suggesting that at least one person in the relationship has a problem that is so big that it keeps the relationship from either growing or is actually hurting the relationship. In order to determine what exactly is a fatal flaw, I'll remind you that we all have bad habits. A bad habit is not a fatal flaw. If I have a bad habit of leaving cabinet doors open or leaving my shoes on the floor, that could be annoying, but it's not going to break the relationship. Generally speaking, bad habits don't tend to be deal breakers. These are things that we can work on, and sometimes we get better at them. But what I'm referring to are characteristics in a person that are so deeply flawed that they hurt themselves and the people around them. Some examples would be a person who's a narcissist or highly entitled, a person that's abusive, either verbally or physically, a person that has a substance abuse or a substance addiction, somebody that has a tendency to be too controlling, a person with anger issues, or in many cases, it could be a person that has a lot of unresolved trauma. People who have gone through very difficult things in their lives, certain traumas, may continue to carry deep wounds that are not healed, and sometimes those wounds will get in the way of creating a healthy relationship with a partner. For those people who do have what I would consider fatal flaws, you'll find it nearly impossible to create a healthy relationship with another person, because in essence, there's something about you that is very unhealthy. The challenging thing with a person that has deep-rooted issues is that they can also have great qualities. You might see a lot of good in that person. They might be very giving, kind-hearted, hardworking. And in those cases, we tend to justify staying with a person who can also be very hurtful. We can be supportive of people who have deep-rooted issues, but there are certain people that are not going to help themselves, and we should learn how to protect ourselves from those people. There are things that we should never tolerate in a relationship, even if that person has a lot of good qualities. Certain things should be deal-breakers. Unfortunately, there are some people who have these deep-rooted fatal flaws or personal issues who don't understand that they have those issues. They'll go around blaming everybody else, especially a person who's a narcissist. It is very unlikely for a narcissist to ever acknowledge that they can be the problem. It will always be the other person. But for what it's worth, there are people who understand their deep-rooted problems and might be willing to work on themselves. And now I'm going to be addressing one more concept as to why I believe relationships tend to fail. Now, like I mentioned earlier, obviously I can't cover every single reason, but I find this one to be a very consistent problem in relationships. It's the idea that people fail to nurture their relationships in the long run. Let's remember why people fall in love. In the beginning of a relationship, there's an investment in each other. People spend time together. They have experiences. They do things for each other. A lot of time and energy is spent on cultivating that relationship. And for a lot of people, that can lead to falling in love with somebody. And that's great. But like anything in life, if you value something, you have to keep taking care of it. You have to maintain it. For a lot of couples, at some point, they stop nurturing the relationship. What it means is that there's a disconnect at some point in which couples take the relationship for granted or simply get caught up with life. It could be our careers. It could be the arrival of children. And for other people, it could mean that they don't believe that a relationship should be nurtured. That once you fall in love, that original love should sustain you for the rest of your life. And that's not how relationships work. There are many things in life that we would never treat like that. If I have a job and I value that job, I'll commit myself to that job. I will go in there every day and do good work, in large part because I would like to stay there for a long time. I value it. There are people who treat their cars better than they treat their relationships. The time and energy that we invest in something tells us about how much we value it. If I say I value my wife, then it would be in my best interest to love her on a daily basis, to always keep in mind that I'm a partner to another person. And if I want to be happy with her for the rest of my life, I'll make sure never to forget to nurture this relationship. But if people fail to nurture their relationship on a consistent basis, what happens is that there's a gradual detachment of the relationship. You'll find two people functioning very independently. Now they're functioning for the same home or for the same cause, but their focus tends to be on other things, with little to no focus on the relationship. So whenever I hear couples talk about the fact that there's no intimate connection in the relationship, one of the first things I assess is how is their general connection in the relationship. And in most cases, I see that these are couples that don't invest in each other. They figure that there should be an intimate connection just because they're a couple, because the love is there or has been there once upon a time. When you put the relationship on cruise control and the relationship drifts apart, it will naturally create a disconnection in the intimacy that people feel with each other. So when I encounter a relationship that's disconnected, I notice that they have a good routine in life. They're very good about taking care of their responsibilities in life. And they'll even carve out time to do things as a family or do things together. But they seem manufactured. They're going to take a vacation or they're going to go out to dinner to the place they like to go to. Or they might visit an amusement park. In this way, they get to give the impression that we are a family and we're doing things together. But they're really not connected. These are things that we do together. But this does not represent who we are as a couple. In these type of relationships, the connection is weak. They misunderstand each other a lot. They get irritated by each other. And at the end of the day, they truly don't understand each other. I encourage people to never stop actively investing in the relationship. And I understand that there are going to be moments in life where you can't. The birth of a newborn will shift your energy. And you'll lose the attention you tend to give to each other. But eventually you'll be able to get some of that back. I am not suggesting that we always invest in the same way. What I am suggesting is that you never stop investing in the relationship. Never stop taking care of it. Do not allow a day to go by that you didn't nurture your relationship with your partner by loving them, taking care of them, or showing interest in them. And if you're not clear as to what that might look like in your relationship, get together with your partner and create a game plan as to what you guys can do to constantly nurture that relationship and make it stronger. I am a true believer that people can stay in love for the rest of their lives, but it's not going to happen just because. It'll happen because you worked at it. At the end of the day, the formula for a healthy and successful relationship will always be two generally healthy people getting together and working on it, or at least two people who are willing to grow and be a better version of themselves. And like I said in the beginning, not every relationship is meant to work. Sometimes two good people can get together, give it a really good shot, and simply not be able to figure it out. In these cases, you walk away and you ask yourself an important question. What did I contribute to that? And work at that for the next time in your relationship. But also, there's going to be plenty of times when a relationship should have ended. It's something you knew, or the people in your life knew, that you might be in a relationship that you shouldn't be continuing, for whatever reason. Whether you got together for the wrong reasons, it was toxic from the beginning, or you simply weren't ready to be in a relationship. It's okay. That's simply part of the process of learning how to be in relationships. And to wrap it up, I want to give a little bit of my perspective as a male therapist. I get to see the mistakes that people make in their relationships, but I can't ignore the fact that men continue to carry the bulk of the problems as far as not knowing how to have a healthy relationship. In too many cases, I find it that it is men who are either being unreasonable, selfish, or fail to nurture a relationship. That does not mean that women don't do it. There are plenty of women making mistakes in relationships. But unfortunately, in my perspective, it continues to tilt in the direction of men who need to work harder at understanding how to have a healthy relationship with their partners. That's why I advocate so strongly for men to listen to this information so we can learn how to become better partners. We have to be accountable for us. Not every relationship is going to have the same formula for what works for them, but there's definitely a right way and a wrong way to go about a relationship, and that's what this podcast is for. So I truly hope that you find this information useful. And if you have to re-listen to certain episodes to get a better concept, re-listen, or send me a question on Instagram at The Male Therapist Perspective. But for now, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode on understanding the mistakes we make when we argue with our partners. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next time.